Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in,
yes,
look.
Sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the shit to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Well, peace and blessings, everyone. You know where you're at. You're at Bree Life Radio. And I'm your girl, Bree, and I'm breathing light today. So come on, let's take a deep breath, and we breathe in light, because we finna go in like A-Dreams just said. So, okay, let's hit it. What do women really want? That's the topic of discussion for tonight. And as always, you can call in, tell your friends, tell your sister girls, tell your cousins. Call in to 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. You can follow me on Bree Life at Twitter or Bree Life at Facebook. You can also send your questions, concerns, and, of course, your constructive criticisms to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. So, as you know, there are always rules of engagement on Bree Life Radio. And the only one we have for tonight is that we're not going to talk about the things that we don't want. Sisters, we got to make it extremely clear to the brothers what it is that we want. What do we really want? So let's not waste time on debating about what we don't want. Let's make it clear as to what it is that we want. So, as usual, as always, I always start the top of the show with our favorite guest caller, Mark from Houston, Texas. So let's bring him on the line, because he had an interesting blog that I read, and I'd like to discuss it with him.
Hey, what's going on?
Peace and blessings, Mark from Houston, Texas.
Peace and blessings, Bree. What's cracking?
Well, what's cracking tonight is the question of the millennia. What do women really want? Today, I had the opportunity to take a look at your blog. I read it. I was quite impressed because it showed peripheral thinking on the other side of the table. Why don't you share with our audience what your blog was about?
Well, the question, well, actually it was a statement. It started off with a statement that says women don't know what they want. And, of course, it was kind of provocative. But the point that I was making was that a lot of times the confusion in what anybody wants, and since we were talking about women, I don't think it's just women that don't know what they want per se, but I think most of the time the question of what we want lies in the belief of as to whether we can have it or not. So if we don't think we can have it, then we start looking for alternatives to what we want The only problem is the desire for what we want still lies. So because there are competing desires going on, one meaning the one thing that I want versus the belief that I can't have what I want, it causes people to, and women in this case, causes them to kind of shift back and forth, trying to figure out exactly what it is that they want. But if pressed and said there were no boundaries and you can have exactly what you want, it can look exactly what you want to look like, most people can tell you pretty much in detail what they want. So as long as it's not laced with the possibility that they can't have it. If you tell me I can have whatever I want, I can start naming all the things that I want probably, you know. But when you ask me if I think I can have what I want, that's a little different. So that was the premise of my blog. And then I had one young lady comment. She was upset about it because she said the whole issue of pursuit, why would I be pursuing a man? Why would I even pursue a man? And then my response to her was, well, you know, granted, I'm not so much saying whether you pursue him or not, or whether you allow him to pursue you, you still have the same questions to deal with. So if you don't go after him or you wait for him to come to you, then you have to look at what comes to you. You have to ask yourself, if this is what I want, or is this all that's available to me? And I kind of used the analogy of catching fish in my blog when I talked about the whole concept of if an individual caught, was out to catch catfish, and they caught a sunfish, and then they were faced with the fact that they might not catch any other fish but this sunfish, they may keep it. That doesn't mean that they want it. But the only problem is if they keep something they don't want, it's a good chance they're going to waffle back and forth, and sometimes it's going to be a level of unhappiness or unsurety. So that was the basis of my blog for today.
Well, I think this is, there's a fair assessment there that women who know what they want. What I'm hearing is that it's not that we don't know what we want. It's just that most oftentimes what we want doesn't present itself regularly. So, like, and it goes back to that conversation that I told you I was having with that brother in the kitchen when I was cooking. And I was telling him about the series of the shows that I was going to have regarding, you know, women not, guys saying that women do not know what they want. And he said, well, they don't know what they want sometimes, but that's not really the problem. And I said, well, here's what I experience. Here's what I think the problem is. I think that women know what we want, but at this point in our lives, when you're in your 40s and 50s, you've gotten so used to not being in alignment with what you want, you get frustrated. You get despaired. You become disinterested. You don't put yourself in the right alignment. And what I would say to that person that made a comment about your blog is that I understand where she's coming from, because traditionally, as women, as little girls and young women, we're taught that we're not the ones that are supposed to pursue a man. We're supposed to be pursued by a man. But here's what I say. You know, you don't have to go on a hunt, but you should put yourself in good alignment. You should be ready. And I think oftentimes we're not in good alignment. We're not, which in essence will put us in a place of not being properly prepared for when a brother who wants to step up to the plate is stepping up to the plate, but, you know, he doesn't really have a lot to work with, because we're coming to the plate with some things that should have been worked out. And,
well,
you know,
yeah,
if you couldn't tell from my posture tonight, because I've had a lot, I mean, I've been on the phone and responding to emails and talking to a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I want to thank a very good friend of mine, Kevin Powell from New Jersey. We were on the phone for about an hour and a half prior to the show, and he was he was doing his share of venting about what do women really want, being a brother who comes correct and stepping up to the plate and prepared to take on the traditional roles that most women look for in men. But he finds that women aren't coming to the plate properly prepared. So if you couldn't tell by my posture tonight, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. I don't want to be I don't want to make it seem as though I'm taking any side, because I do have my own opinion, and maybe by the time that the show is to a close, I'll share it with everyone. But I want to be fair on both sides of the fence. So if you're in earshot of my voice, people, women more specifically, this is the forum that I've created for us to be able to talk about the things specifically that we want, the expectations that we have. So these brothers can't say, you didn't tell us, or we don't have an idea. So call in, 424-220-1862. That number, again, is 424-220-1862. Mark, I know that you have a lot of female friends, and you probably spend a fair amount of time talking with them about the show and talking about the topics that we're discussing on Bree Life Radio. And since this is part two of a four-part series that I'm doing, I mean, what is the feedback that you're getting from the people who you're sharing what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to have a dialogue so that some people can, you know, more specifically women can, you know, put a voice and shut down the misperceptions that men have about the fact that we don't know what we want.
Well, funny, I had a conversation last night with a young lady, and her position was that one of the biggest problems that she feels she runs into as a person that's back out here, and she's like 47 years old, and she's like, her thing is that women need to understand that the traditional concept of the chase, meaning the man doing the chasing, it should still be that way. But that we, meaning she was saying females, she said we need to learn how to position ourselves, as
yeah.
you were saying earlier, basically. She said, and that's something that's a little different in this world, because her whole perception is that we have a much better chance of coming to some level of agreement when we understand how we operate, for the most part, from the standpoint of gender, so to speak. And her position was that if we understood that women, for the most part, want to be some level of catered to, some level of attention, and that if you do that, then they're very capable of doing what they believe men want, which is to be adored and to be somewhat attended to. And I don't mean tended to in a sense that you're giving up your level of humanity, or if there's some level of superiority, but it's just this whole concept that men like to be adored and thought of as being the quote unquote the man. And so she said, mm-hmm. if women learn how to position themselves better, and then also give them a roadmap to them, so it's like, hey, this is where I am, this is where I stand. And that doesn't mean that you're gonna miss some people. But the reality that she was saying is that I think that we make it far too easy for them to perceive that they can have certain things from us. And she was talking about from sexual stuff to time and things of that
nature. Right.
And that you need to keep them in a space of respecting you. And if they respect you, then what will happen is they'll do what they need to do to be with you or to get you, as opposed to the fact that there is a numbers game, and the numbers game puts it like this. There are more women than are men. So since there are more women than are men, it's a great chance that they're going to have more of an opportunity. But she was saying value always is going to rise to the top. So granted, and like she was saying, I'm not trying to put down any other sisters, she said, but those sisters who take positions that show themselves as being valuable, they'll get, it may take a little while, but they'll get what they want if they're willing to stand their position and be consistent, as opposed to waffling, be willing to throw that catfish back, I mean, throw that Sunny back to get that catfish. That's her position.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're going to take another caller. Hold on. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree. And we're talking about what do women really want. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to tonight? Okay. Hello? Okay, we're going to let that person get their technology together. Okay. Please continue, Mark.
So, in any case, like I said, you know, that's one of the things I was hearing a lot about was the whole concept of trying to navigate these role issues. And some of it has to do with the fact, I heard one brother last week, we were talking, they were talking about the whole, you know, I think you had your aunt on from Detroit and a brother Chris was on, they were just talking about the whole concept of people staying together and the financial situation. But like mm-hmm. like this woman told me yesterday, and she is a businesswoman, she has her own business, owns her own home, she raised three boys, and they're owning, and two of them own their own homes. And she's been in two relationships, recently divorced. And she said, "You don't understand." She said, "We will support a man that's down on his luck, if we know that number one, he has a desire not to be down on his luck, and that he values us. And if you value me, we're supporting that because we." She said, "Women are built for that support role. That doesn't mean that they can't." Again, she's coming. You got to remember, she's coming from a traditional Christian, Judeo-Christian background. So that's what she's speaking of. Now, the Women's Lib movement might not, you know, coincide with this or line up with this, but her perception is, "I have no problem being a support, a backbone," she said, "because I believe women are nurturers, and I believe women were born to give a level of support. But when they give that level of support, that true level of support, which is different," she said, "nurturing is different than hand-holding." She said,
right.
"So nurturing is providing a basis for you to be creative and for you to do the things that you need to do to be the man that you need to be. Conversely, if you're the man that you need to be, then there's then two things. You're going to treat me a certain way, number two, and it's going to encourage me to want to support you even more." So her position is not subservient. It's just a working relationship of people understanding their strengths and what you bring to the table and what I bring to the table, and therefore if we, you know, bring these things together, it can work out. She said, because she told me this. She said, "You know what, Mark, I'm in Walmart." She said, "Guys look at me, they won't even holler at me." She said, I'm a very attractive woman." She said, "And then I walk off to my Jaguar. I get in my Jaguar, then I get fewer conversations because it's like they think they know that I'm going to, like, not be open to them." And I'm like, "Open your mouth. Why are you looking at me? If it's something you want to say, say it." But they have certain perceptions. And like she said, "I'm a very successful businesswoman. And I have that air. I do walk like I'm confident, but if you speak to me, I will talk to you." She said, mm-hmm. even in business cocktail functions, you'd be surprised. Women who are successful have a hard time getting men, nice guys, bad guys, any guys, to be willing to say something to them. So,
okay.
You know, I think that's quite interesting. I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, by you being out in the business world, and do you feel that that's an issue sometimes?
Well, because I've worked in a couple of different industries, ironically enough, and I don't know what this says about my personality, but I think because I grew up in a household full of boys, I grew up in a family that's male-dominated, I think I've always been attracted to the things that men do. So I wind up working professionally in a male-dominated industry, IT, and it's a double-edged sword when you're a woman working in IT. You can be looked upon as being, well, especially when you're in a management position, you have to carry yourself in a certain way because especially when you're managing men. and you're managing men that come from all different walks of life, and, you know, they're going to be perceptions. They're going to come at you a particular way. They're going to resent you for being there because you're their manager, and, you know. So working in IT and working on Wall Street and walking up and down Wall Street and Fulton Street and Broadway, you know, you encounter all different types of people. And how you walk tells a person, and it doesn't really even matter, and I want to make this clear, industry has nothing to do with it. Who you are as a person is everything. So how you carry yourself, the confidence that you exude, that's going to tell everything about who you are and you know, kind of where you're coming from. And I've heard my whole adult life that men are intimidated by me. And I think that's a crock. You know, why would you be intimidated by me? You know, when I'm a very approachable, welcoming individual. You can tell I like to talk. I have a talk show. So walk up to me, talk to me, and say hello. But I share some of her concern or even frustration of the fact that, you know, when you carry yourself a certain way, you don't get the type of attention that you would like, welcoming attention. People will look at you, guys will look at you, but they won't say anything. So what I would say to her is that she's going to have to go an extra step. What I would do, listen, I got 6 dimples, 3 on each side. You know, I just smile and show the dimples and, you know, say hello. And if that doesn't do something, then, you know, they really wasn't worth talking to anyway, and keep it moving, move around. You know, but you can't. Here's the thing. We are living in a different world than our parents were living in. So where traditionally the role was the man approached the woman, that's kind of, I mean, you know, we kind of, listen, when you look at kids now, here's a perfect example. Watch middle school children at a dance. The girls are dancing with the girls, and the boys are either holing up the walls or they're dancing with each other.
Each other.
When you and I were growing up and we went to a dance, boys and girls danced with one another.
Yep.
You know? So when our own children, and this is something that I talk about all the time, what's my favorite word? Communication. You know, if we're watching our children not being able to communicate with one another, what does that say for what type of adults they're going to turn into? And guess who they're watching? They're watching us. So we need to break the horrible cycle of not being able to communicate and work on doing that better, so that our children can become better than what we are now. But, again, not to deflect, but that person who you was talking to, I understand her concerns and frustrations, but she's going to, you know, because who she is and how she rolls, she's going to have to step it up a little bit. Because
well,
I don't know what it is, this shift in the world that we're in now, where men don't really approach women the way they did when I was a teenager. It's just very different.
You know what, though? I think, but see, so, but if I think about this, though, you didn't have as many women that were doing IT and driving Jaguars and so forth and so on. So you got to remember the level of success has changed, number one, which unfortunately for men, you got to remember, the man is traditionally ego-driven. It's ego, it's his ability to provide. So if I see a woman that looks like she's strong and successful, she doesn't seem like she needs provision. And seeing as though that is what we came up traditionally doing is providing. It's a shift. It's a paradigm shift. So now the question is, if I'm getting with a successful woman, she doesn't need me for provision. And that was
Hold
my
on,
primary
Mark.
Role.
We're going to take a caller. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree. And we're talking about what do women really want. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to tonight? Hello? Okay. I think that was the caller from last week that was running water. Whatever. Okay. Mark, before you pick back up on where the point that you had left off at, one of the things that I want to take the time periodically throughout the show to do is to mention some of the things that women really do want from men. One of the things is to show a genuine interest. And this is at the inception of the whole interaction between man and woman, when in the discovery phase, as I'd like to call it. You know, we want men to show a genuine interest in wanting to get to know us. We want them to be consistent. We want them to show a level of commitment to the whole discovery and not be distracted. So those are just three things I want to throw out there right now. And before we move on, we're going to bring one of my other favorite callers, Chris from New York. Peace and blessings, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Bree? What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Chris?
All is well. So tonight, you know, we're talking about what do women really want.
Right. I was hoping I'm trying to get some knowledge into this game.
Well, you know what? We can't get the knowledge that you, or clarity or some insight if the sisters don't call in. So, again, give us a call at 424-220-1862 so that you can have your voice heard and to dispel this assessment that, you know, we really don't know what we want. Here's what I say to that, and then I want you both to comment on this. You know, I think it was Alex a couple of weeks ago when we were having our freestyle. Or no, it was the Mr. Nice Guy show, who said that a woman knows what she wants one day and then it changes the other. And then once you adapt to this one thing that she wants, and then the next day or a week will pass, and then she wants something different. Here's what I say to that, because I was thinking about that statement. And you know what? Alex is absolutely right. But here's what I say to that. What is wrong with us changing? What us adapting? Because, you know, the world is changing every day. Our set of circumstances at work are changing every day. Our relationships with our family members and our friends are changing every day. We're aging. Our bodies are changing every day. So, of course, what we want is going to change. But here's what I say. As long as I don't stop or change wanting you and you wanting me, what difference does it make? Okay, I hear the birds cheeping. Does that mean y'all are thinking about that? Come on, I need to hear some feedback. Jump in.
You ain't there, Chris.
Ain't that something? I cannot believe the two most vocal brothers of the line are Stump.
Well, no, I'm not saying. I have been talking, and Chris hasn't been. I wanted to hear what brother had to say about that.
Yeah,
no,
let's Chris a shot.
Well, I'll say this. I think, again, and this kind of goes back off of the whole issue of, at least in my perception, and again, because the woman I was talking to, her thing, she had two pieces to it. The one piece was that she has it's hard for her to get guys to want to have a conversation with her, quality or not quality, because of how her posture is and her, you know, what she does. Conversely, she finds it quite interesting because she's also a manager. She manages younger ladies, and she also does some level of counseling. She was just saying that it was really interesting to her that what the young ladies were willing to do to get a guy. And she started realizing that a lot of these guys are avoiding her, like, you know, when we were talking about the good guy getting the bad guy. I mean, the young lady's going for the bad guy versus the good guy. Her position is the woman that has her stuff together has a harder time getting them, but the young girl that's a little more loopy and a little more willing to put out and follow, they getting guys. Where you will see these older guys and various other people that will go after these younger girls. So I think the problem is, again, the shift. When you were saying we were younger, we didn't have as many successful women on their own doing their thing. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, at least it didn't appear that way. And I think the numbers suggest there probably are, because they're few. Because now we're looking at women, especially black women, can maybe making more money than black men in many cases. So it's an issue of how does a man make the adaptation, and how does a woman make the adaptation? Because it's kind of a role issue. Because remember, like I keep saying, we keep going back and talking about how great and stable these relationships were in years yesteryear. But the roles were pretty clear. The man was a provider. He was the breadwinner. That's what they called him, the breadwinner. So now when you meet a woman, she don't need a breadwinner a lot of times. So now if that was my primary function, now I got to start asking myself, well, how do I function in this? Because trust me, men do have issues concerning, you know, when it comes to money as being a symbol of control and power. So if money is a symbol of control and power and she has more of it, then I start feeling vulnerable, you know, and so what do I do? And I don't know if I want to be in that mix because I like somebody to depend on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying me. I'm just saying that might be an issue. So you might run into a problem finding somebody to work with you if you're not presenting yourself to be a little more the fairer, weaker sex. Now, I'm not buying that. Trust me, I really don't buy that. That is not how I feel about things. But I do understand and respect the traditions that we have, and our traditions support. Remember, the Bible tells us to submit, wives, submit to your husbands. Husband loves your wives, but it never tells the husband to submit to the woman. And the word submit in almost any language means to bow down or defer to. So that's a different world, because I don't know a lot of women that's going to bow down or defer to a man. She might not have a problem with equality, but she's not going to have anything less than equality in many cases. You know, and then how does that look? So we're dealing with a really different landscape. So we're going to have two people who are really well-balanced, have high levels of self-esteem on both ends, you know, that are not insecure. And when you find that, then you're going to have a better chance, because that's going to be the big issue. That's going to be the big issue. That's the new frontier. And it's going to have a lot to do with high levels of self-esteem, not needing anyone else for approval or justification, but someone for complimenting and sharing. That's a different role, because I'm promising you 50 years ago, we were not dealing with complimenting and sharing. Even if it was complimentary and even if you were sharing, we were dealing with the man was the breadwinner. He was, quote-unquote, the man.
Well, we're going to breathe light, and we're about to bring some estrogen into the mix. And you know who she is. She's my favorite. My Gail. It is none other than Turtle. Missed you, girl.
Thank you. Missed you, too.
So, Gail, we're talking about, and you, I think you might have been on vacation for our, the first part of our series of What Do Women Really Want?
Cool.
So, let's talk about that.
Mm. Okay. Well, let
have
me
you been
listen for a while, hear everybody's perspective on where they're at with it. Because, yeah, I was on vacation. I wasn't even listening. I was just soaking up California sunshine, I must admit.
That's okay. I can't be mad at you.
So I'll listen, but I heard Mark's little comment just a little while ago. Okay. I see what he's kind of talking about.
Well,
here's
what I want to know from Mark, because Chris is flaking on me. I'm a little disappointed. But I said something, and I shut them both down. I can't believe that.
Uh-oh.
So I need to know from Mark, what do you think about what I said? That, you know, the world is shifting, everything is changing every day, and yes. You know, I don't agree with the fact that we don't know what we want. I think what we want changes because we have to adapt.
Yeah, well, we're trying to figure out how we can have what we want. That's really what the issue is, how we can have. And so that adaptation sometimes is going to look like it's indecision. It's not really indecision. You're trying to figure out how to get what you want. So that means that you're willing to make, okay, well, maybe this today, maybe this today. Now, there is some legitimacy to talk about patterns in women and men, and there is a level sometimes of waffling, but I don't know if that's the biggest thing that's hurting us getting together, because, I mean, most of the time men have always been used to women changing their minds. I mean, we always know that. Remember the whole saying, it's like a woman's prerogative is to change her mind. We know that. So that never really caused any problems in us having relationships. I don't think that's the problem now. Because most men have been used to
I'm just addressing
their mama changed their mind.
Addressing what Alex said a couple of weeks ago on the Mr. Nice Guy show, that, you know, women change their mind all the time. And so much that, you know, he's convinced that we don't really know what we want.
But you know what, Bree? On the principle, see, my thing is this. Peripheral stuff, fine. But principal stuff means, do I want a man to hold me, be there for me, talk to me, look me in my eyes, that kind of stuff. But they ain't, y'all ain't changed on that. You know, so that's why sometimes I think we get into these stupid peripheral conversations about little stuff. When the primary things, if we address the primary things, a man wants to be adored and appreciated. A woman wants to be pampered and told she's valuable. That's the bottom line. And if you do that enough on both sides, and meaning you're going to be aware and attentive, we talk about the acronym that I created called PCA, Passion, Care, and Attention. I promise you, if anybody took the time to do it, and I can say that when I look at past situations for me, some of those things were absent in my actions. Even if my mate fell short in everything, can I stand and say unblemished that I did all those things with a level of consistency? Now, if I didn't do that, then really, even if she wasn't consistent, I can't be blaming her. So when you get a brother to say he did X, Y, and Z, and then his relationship broke up and he did it always consistently, then fine. I don't know. A fool then. The woman was a fool. She was a fool. And she left a man that was doing everything and attentively doing it, meaning he was watching the shifts and he made the adjustments. Because one thing about it is, you can say women change their minds all the time. But one thing we know is the landscape of living is always changing. And if you don't make an adjustment, that's just like you're saying, well, I'm supposed to be in this lane. I'm supposed to be in this lane. If I see a guy that's unaware and he's continued to merge towards me, what I'm going to do? Not make an adjustment, sit in that lane? I'm going to speed up, slow down, move to the other way if I can. So we always make an adjustment. So we can't use that as an excuse saying a woman's changing her mind, she don't know what she wants. Because the reality is, we have to show that level of consistency. I'm going to tell you, you do what you're supposed to do. You can attract what you want. You can attract what you want. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out here, whether it be Christian sayings or New Age sayings that talk about the power of attraction, you know, and
okay,
energy
so, Myrtle,
and stuff.
What say you?
Yeah. Hold on. What kind of like, what did you call it, Mark? You said the P, passion, care, and what?
Passion, care,
passion,
and attention.
Care and attention.
And I like that because if you really look at it, because if we say women don't know what they want, then men don't know what they want either. If you look at the other way that we're looking at before, you put the passion, care, and attention in there. But you usually mm-hmm. cheat because one of those three are missing. And a lot of men cheat because we stop giving that passion, care, and attention. We put the kids first, and all of a sudden they're on the back burner, and they're not understanding, or they don't get it, or they don't, you know, they don't want to get it, whatever it is. So I like the passion, care, and attention is what's missing in a lot of relationships. Because when you have that, then it's an ongoing thing, and people stay together. So it's not so much that we don't know what we want. When some of those are missing, then you get, you don't know what you want. Because he's not either willing to give it anymore or whatever happens in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we know what we want. Because most time women will stay in a relationship even if the man cheats. We're like, okay, we forgive you. Let's see what's going to happen. Try to take it to the next level, you know. But if it keeps happening, then, of course, you got to make some, you know, transition there. But we will mostly stay in a relationship, even though some men that are reversed. Now, if you cheat on a man, he's quick to say
yep.
bye.
He's
people
gone.
People say bye, he's going to give you a second chance.
Can't
that's something.
Women go through it all the time. So that is kind of interesting.
So, but, yeah. So, but usually one of those are missing, passion, care, and attention. And we're all giving those, then most likely we would be attentive, and then we would know what's going on, and we could communicate better and understand one another, and the relationship would probably have longevity. So, yeah, it's not that we don't know what we want.
Because if you think about it when people say, and I've heard women tell me this, they said if a woman leaves you 9 times out of 10, she had made her mind up a long time ago, which means she showed signs. And if you were more attentive, even if she didn't stay, you would have been aware of the shift.
But here's the thing. I talk about the signs in the beginning that are ignored. Because if you listen to the things that were being said, if you were watching body language, if you were observing the signs that were coming at you, you wouldn't be at that place where she's leaving you.
That's
because
true.
You would have addressed the things that was coming at you in the beginning.
Well, again, if you knew how to, too. So that's another thing. But at least you would have made some attempts based upon the fact that you – or put like this. Even if you didn't make the adjustments, when it was over, at least you could say, you know what, I saw that. I knew that was going to happen. As opposed to –
so is that when he gets to the phase he don't care or something? Because I used to have this friend and she would say – I would go over her house, and she would say right in front of her man, she'd say, well, when we met, he used to take me at least to the corner store and to the movies. Now we don't go nowhere. And he'd be sitting there laughing. Like, oh, it's funny. But to her, it really meant a lot in the relationship, and eventually they wind up breaking up. But it's like his unconscious mind didn't wake up to the fact that she was really saying this was a powerful statement that we need to be doing something. Let's put something
Well, he didn't really care about her. Because when
a man cares
about his woman and vice versa, but we're talking about this man right now, if he really cared about her, if he was giving her PCA, he would have continued to take her to the corner store and to the movies.
Well, you know,
well, you know what they're saying. They want to hear, but he said that's what it took to get her. Now he got her. He don't need to do those things no more.
Well, that's part of it, but you know what, though? He didn't know the value of what he was doing. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think that's what Gail was saying. He heard what she said, but he underestimated how valuable that really was to her. He was like, that was just like, oh, that's just the corner store, that's just the theater. He didn't understand. So when I say he didn't care,
I think it goes a little further than that. I agree with what you're saying, Mark, but I think it goes a little more granular than that. I don't think he valued or understood the value of the woman that he had.
He didn't. That's what
because
I'm saying.
Because if
he
valued her, I mean, look at what she was asking for basics. And this is what I was saying during my time of dating, especially on the internet and talking to people. You know, I, sometimes people would say what I wanted was so out of reach or like, you know, do I ever think that, you know, maybe my standards are too high? And even Gail and I have had this dialogue on like maybe the first couple of shows. But when the basics become unrealistic for a person, then you know the society, we really, the world is really coming to an end. Because if I can't count on you for the basics, I mean, all this woman was asking was to go to the corner store or to go to the movies once in a while. That's really, that's sad.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, again, that's
why women get you and then they don't want to go out in public with you. It's like once they get you, they don't want to take you nowhere. It's like they
but
go
on
out
the,
every weekend.
But in fairness on the flip side, in fairness to men, women can't stop doing the things that they did to get that man. That is very important to stay true to being who you were in the beginning. Like Chris said, with the hair rollers and the do rags and the scarves and stuff like that. That's sexy, ladies. You know, and coming to bed with t-shirts on and sweats. That's not what gets it, ladies. You know, I mean, you have
it, right?
and the little things like text messages on both sides, going back and forth during the course of the day, maybe a call. In the course of the day, you know, you cook him that special meal he likes. He might bring some flowers in for you. I mean, all these things are important to continue to do throughout the course of the relationship because that shows that you still have PCA.
Right.
And that's a great acronym, by the way. You know, because that's something that should be consistent throughout the entire relationship, regardless if it evolves to love or whatever. That's what you should be. That those are the basics. And that's what I'm talking about. When the basics
guess what, Bree?
But you see what you said. You said it should be. It should be.
Right. But when you say love, but see, that's why I think sometimes we get mixed up. Because, first of all, let's go. If we go back to the 50s, men a lot of times wasn't taking women out doing a lot of stuff either. They weren't
taking them nowhere.
They weren't. They would come home tired from work, get their meals.
The 50s men weren't taking women out?
No. They took them. They courted. Remember this. This is what everybody got to remember. Men courted the woman, meaning she wasn't his wife.
Going out.
Once she was courted, she was gotten. Once she was gotten, then it was basically she knew she got her bread, went to her provider. Because that's what
I'm
talking about.
Well, you know what? I don't know. And here, and you know, God help me with this statement I'm about to make. But, you know, I saw very different things growing up because my father courted my mother to the last breath he took.
Right.
That's real talk. You know, my father.
And I think that's beautiful.
Took my mother out because he used to tell me how he used to like to watch her get dressed and put on high shoes.
Brie, is that when two people are in love with each other? Because when I saw this when people are in love with each other, but when it's like I don't think the love is there, then it's like the other way around. It's like they don't go nowhere, they don't.
And I understand that, and I understand that reality is not everybody's reality. But I'm just saying, you know, it sounds a little different to me because I know what I saw.
Yeah.
And I know what a lot of women that I grew up under who were being courted in the 50s, what that looked like. you know, I wasn't, of course, I wasn't born in the 50s, but, you know, I just saw my aunts and uncles going out. I didn't see my aunts and uncles like, or my aunts being those typical housewives that, you know, they were at home and the husband went out and, you know, earned the living and took, I mean, I just saw everybody working together and then, you know, you work together and then you go on vacations and you go out, you have date night or however that looked. That's what it looked like to me. Used to go on trips, parties, and, you know, and it shouldn't stop. It should not stop. How you got that woman, how you got that man, it has to continue on. Because when it does, look, we're having this discussion right now. Because no one understands, we don't understand each other.
Yeah. Something switched somewhere.
Well, I mean, I got to say it again. I think that we have always had those who catered to and we had those who didn't. We also had a different understanding of the need of a man. The man's necessity has changed. We don't need him no more. Like, when I say need him, I mean I don't need him. Meaning I don't have to have a provider. And I'm telling you, the provider role has changed a lot of what happens in the whole relations, the relational piece. So we have a different thing to learn. And again, I'm hopeful. When I say I'm hopeful, my thing is this. I think there's a drive in men and women that's going to always make them want to be with each other. So as people take stands, you're going to work it out. You're going to work it out. It's going to be rough. I think we run into rough spots and rough patches. I think at the end of the day, we're still desirous of each other. So that primal instinctive desire to connect is going to be the thing that that's going to make us negotiate. I can promise you. That's why when the woman told me what she said last night, I kind of understood she was saying what she was saying, her taking a certain position. Because the reality is this. Even though there may be a lot of women out there, a man still wants something that's of quality. And if you take a position of quality and position yourself, like she said, she put herself on a internet dating site, but that didn't change her values and her position just because she put herself out there. And just because she clicked on your link doesn't mean she's going to be any less than that woman that she said she's going to be. So while she agrees with you when she says she has to change her game up, she's going to change up maybe the introduction piece. But what she's not going to change up is how she's going to walk and carry herself and what she's going to demand. You know what I'm saying? And I think one thing about men is, like George Clinton said back in with Parliament, he said, "Why must I be like that? Why must I chase the cat? Must be the dog in me." We're going to always chase. Because we want y'all. And so you all control a lot of the engagement and the dialogue because we instinctively want y'all. Not that y'all don't want us, but we chase. We go after y'all. We want y'all. There's no doubt in my mind, we want y'all.
I'm going to say two things. One about the past and one about the future.
It's in my mind.
Say it again.
Out in my mind.
Okay. I remember my mom. Huh? She said the thought in her mind.
Oh, okay. All right.
But to speak on the past, how they used to interact. My mom wanted to get a divorce, you know, because she was back in that era. And so she wanted to get a divorce, and all her aunties and sisters, they was like, "No, we don't get divorced. You keep your husband, and you have something on the side." Because your husband was the one who paid the bills and stuff like that. But my mom, she didn't care about that because she felt she could do it on her own anyways. So that was one of the things that they also practiced back then, was stay with your husband, but have whoever, you know, for that piece of the PCA, I guess. And then the younger kids, yep, that's what they told her. And the younger kids, But eventually she wanted to get a divorce and do what she wanted to do, and they thought she was an oddball out because they weren't doing that back then. Once you got married, you stayed married. But the younger kids that I see now, they're, like, staying in their relationships, and they're kind of attentive to one another, and the girls, even though they might be the ones with the money, they will take care of the guys, regardless if he has money or not. So I see more of them offering that PCA to the guys, and it's just different. I don't know if you guys observed that. Like, people, kids that are like 20 and under, 17, 16, 15, they're staying with each other. It's like, okay, well, why don't you see things?
You know what? I have seen that. That's quite interesting that you would say that. That's why I said the adjustments will be made. I see the younger ones are a little more malleable. The older dating scene is a little different. It's a little different.
So something happened to our generation, basically, you said. Is that what we're looking at? Because that's what it seems like I see. And then
well,
to go back to that
really talking about, so.
I think younger people take dating and being in a relationship more serious than older people. I see it with my own eyes.
Saying.
Even teenagers seem more committed
mm-hmm.
to one another.
And that
than
is
grown people. And it's
that's
very, and this goes back to what I was saying at the top of the show, kind of the peripheral thinking that I really feel that Mark put into his blog, what I said to that brother scrambling those eggs in the kitchen a month ago, is that we become, it's not that we don't know what we want. What we want is very clear. But once we become so used to not receiving
mm-hmm.
what we want, even when we put ourselves in good alignment
right.
for it, it's like, you know, forget about it. That's why I said when Mark said, there's no doubt about bye, we want you, we want you. Well, I don't care that ideology at all because all I've heard just this last month, I want you, I want you, and still I don't see the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. We want you, and we do want you. And what's going to happen to us is, because see, look at it like this.
They're
going to
get me. You're not consistent.
A man is less likely to stay alone than a woman is. So that suggests to me that he thrives off of having that woman in his life. So if more women take certain positions, it's going to force him to make a change because he ain't going to be alone. A man ain't going to be alone. You ain't got to worry about that. A woman will be alone. She can do it. She will do it. Brothers ain't going to do it. So he's just going to go to somebody else. And if every door he knocks on takes the same stance, it's going to force his hand. It's going to force his hand because he's going to chase. Because he wants it. That's why it's a lot of education that needs to be done and a lot of sisterhood groups that need to get together where y'all talk to each other about what y'all want to do. Because if y'all control the flow. Y'all control the flow. I'm telling you, dogs chase the cat. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. From the actual, we know what the song was talking about, but I ain't just talking about, I'm talking about the pleasure of what that thing is that he was saying they chase after. See, the cost of doing business is the cost of doing business. You can be upset at the cost of gas all you want, but you need to put it in your car for it to run. So if it is what it is, you're gonna put your pennies together to get that gas. You're going to do what you got to do. But if you find that you can go somewhere else and get it for much, much less, then you're going to go get it for much, much less. So it's a united front. The sisterhood. What's the name of that movie? The Something of a Traveling Man.
Where are they at, though?
I'm asking you, what are you women in your age group willing to do to put us in opposition? And I ain't trying to be, I'm not saying a man needs to not be responsible for his actions because he's got to do what he's got to do. But I'm saying y'all are the gatekeepers. Y'all the gatekeepers. You all are the gatekeepers. And the bottom line is this. I got to have one of y'all. So I'm going to get one of y'all. And if I go to every gate and every gate is saying the same thing, then I'm going to have to adjust my game.
You might have to lower your age group. Since they understand the relationships more.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, maybe that goes to that old saying where they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Or, it ain't that you want to learn no new tricks, but once you get set in your ways, it's like, whatever, I've been there, done that.
You ain't moving on woman. You ain't moving on woman setting her ways. I'm going to promise you that. You can move a man because a man chasing cats. But a woman, you shoot.
Right. It's so good.
Well, I tend to think that, you know, any woman that wants one man in particular, we always seem to be the one that makes more adjustments and sacrifice a little more than men will for that relationship.
If you didn't make that adjustment, here's my point, and my point is this. You are the gatekeepers. If more of you took a certain position, then I promise you. Now, we ain't going to go down. You're talking about go lower. No, we're not going to do nothing because young women.
You said,
I'm saying,
if more of you took a certain position, what?
I'm saying, if more. What Bree just said, when she was talking about cooking the eggs and stuff, and she was talking to various people, and she's seeing what she's seeing, it's suggesting to me when I hear what she is saying is that a lot of guys ain't willing to step up to the plate. So my thing is that, so that means that they come to Bree, they holler at Bree, they see where Bree at, they run from Bree because they don't want to do what Bree says. So they go to Cindy.
Right.
I'm just saying,
wait,
they go to
wait,
Cindy.
Wait, stop. They don't want to do what Bree says. I'm not telling them they have to do anything.
What I mean. I'm saying you have a certain level of expectation of what you want to see when a man comes to you.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right. Mm-hmm.
Right? And you have complained in the past that brothers ain't willing to step up. Like, you talked about one guy that didn't want to give time. And he wanted to see your face when he wanted to see your face. That wasn't acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this. If that's his game and that's what he wants, and he can't get it from Bree, then he go to Susie, and she give him the same thing. And then he go to Gail, and she give him the same thing. What's going to happen?
And I'm quite sure he's going through a lot of women because the one thing, I'm sorry, there may be 5% of the population that don't mind not getting time. But most of us, we need that.
So I'm just saying, the sisterhood,
to move around.
It's the sisterhood. I'm telling you, it's the sisterhood. And the more the sisterhood stands, the sisterhood ground, y'all don't get what y'all want. Because I'm telling you, we want y'all.
Let's take a caller. Hold on. Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your host, Bree. And we're talking about what do women really want. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to tonight?
This is Mike from Queens, New York.
Hello, Mike from Queens, New York. How are
Hi,
you?
How are you? I'm great.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to you. I just figured I'd call in and give my little 2 cents on the topic tonight.
Well, please do.
And
so what do you think fundamentally is going on here?
As far as what women want?
Well, we're talking about what do women really want. So we have two women on the line, and we've shared some of our thoughts about what it is that we want. One of the rules for the show is that we're not talking about what we don't want. But we can infuse other topics to kind of give some clarity to what we're talking about tonight. So please feel free to shine whatever clarity you feel, or you could do your own freestyle about this.
Okay. Well, basically, from my experiences with women, most women, heterosexual women, want security. They want to feel secure. They want someone to love them. They want to be financially secure, emotionally secure, and that's it. As simple as that may sound. Most women
financial
security, emotional security, someone to understand them. That's my opinion.
Okay. And are you single?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And in dating these women that want financial and emotional security, you know, and you're dating these women, is there any, like, stumbling block for you for getting past whatever level? I mean, are you happy just dating? Would you like to be in a relationship? Do you want to get married one day? What's your perspective on this?
I think that's the goal of every guy. That's my goal. But for some reason, you know, in this day and age, I think people, men and women, just find it so easy to bail out. I think that they're looking for that perfect someone, and when that perfect someone's not out there, you might have, let's just say you might have four qualities that you're looking for. You might get A, B, and C, but you might not get B. You might get mm-hmm. A and B, but you might not get C and D, vice versa. So I think that nowadays everybody's just looking for that perfect situation. It's just not out there, and people have a low tolerance for negative things. I think that, you know, as you become older and you have, you know, you reach a certain age, I think that most people have a certain, I wouldn't say a certain amount, they have certain issues, they have baggage, if you will, and, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes they're not past that. And they're just looking for that perfect person, and that perfect person is just not out there. Because this is a topic that's widely discussed amongst Blacks, Latinos, whites, everybody. I will say that white people and Latino people have a tendency to marry quicker than brothers and sisters. For what reason, I don't know.
Your name is Mike?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, Mike. So what I'm hearing Mike say is quite interesting, and he said tolerance level, and it's funny because I talked to a young lady, 49, and
right.
She told me, she said, there's certain things I expect to see in a man at 50 years old, 49, 45, whatever, and I'm not
right.
willing to try to show him and help him how to be whatever I need him to be. And so, no, my tolerance level, she said it, her tolerance level is low for the things she wants because she feels at this age, she shouldn't have to be trying not to have what she wants. So he's got a point.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I think the older we get, you realize what you want, what you will go for, and what you won't go for. And that mm-hmm. therein lies the problem. Because after, you know, when you're younger, I think you're more willing to settle. You're more willing to be tolerant and to put up with the negative things. And as you get older, you know, the time is running out, and, you know, you don't have time for those things. So, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, you have to respect someone who speaks their mind on what they want, don't, you know, what they want and what they don't want. But, you know,
okay,
if that doesn't line up, if that doesn't line up with what you're trying to do, then, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either.
So here's the thing that I'm hearing a lot from women. We
right.
have aligned ourselves and positioned ourselves and prepared ourselves to be ready.
Right.
And we're standing in front of someone who says he's ready.
Right.
And we're telling him, well, I'm ready. And he's still standing there. What is that all about? Not moving.
If the person is not moving, then obviously they're not ready. Or they could be ready, but maybe they're just not ready for you. You know, if
well, then they should move around.
They should keep moving. Right.
Yes.
And eventually that will happen. Eventually that will happen. You know that's going to happen.
Right. That's going to happen.
It's going to be caused by one or the other.
By one or the other. You're absolutely right. Because if one
right.
person is putting all their cards out on the table, and the other person is saying they're ready. They're putting their cards out on the table, but one person's not moving, then there's an issue there. And then you have to unwrap that. You have to find out what that issue is. And if they're not moving, then there's something wrong. So, you know, either you find out what it is, or you keep it moving.
It's that simple. And that's what happened. And especially in our age group, that happens frequently. Because now, like you said, we're at an age where we're older, and we've been through, most of us have been through at least two relationships. So if we've been through at least two of them, then we understand. At least. Right, I don't even, because I trust me, I don't better know women. You already know. I've already met enough women. I swear I met enough women. I was in a relationship with a woman that, prior to me, had seven relationships. And she was 50. Seven prior to me. So that was on an average of 3 years. Every 3 years she was in a different relationship. Now, granted, there were different situations because she had one that lasted 9 years and one lasted six, but the other ones were boom, 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 boom. Because she was moving because she didn't like what she saw.
Right.
And those longer relationships happened when she was younger.
See, like here's the thing, and you know, this topic does not seem to be catching on because we're going in all different type of directions here, which is cool, and I like the dialogue. But what is going on where a woman or man would be in a relationship, would be in seven relationships in a 21-year period? You that's a lot of moving around.
Yep.
Right.
But guess what? You could probably got an average of most people, if they're 15 years old, they've probably been in an average of four relationships, an average. And I can promise you're going to have every end of the spectrum. You got those who's been married at 17. I met this woman yesterday that was married from 17 years old, and she just recently got divorced. Now, so that
how
was
old is
17
she?
Years old, that was the only relationship she ever been in.
And how old is she now?
An anomaly. She's an anomaly.
How old is she?
She is 47 years old.
Oh, wow. She is an anomaly.
She's an anomaly.
I recently met someone as well. They're 35 years old, and they just got divorced from their high school sweetheart as well, and have been dating for the past 3 years. You know, and that's rare. You know, they had two children. The marriage worked for a long time. I asked her what happened. She said, you know, she didn't think that he was cheating on her or anything like that. That they just grew apart. That mentally she was one place and he was another place. I mean, it happens.
It does.
It happens. You know why once we get older, why we are less tolerant for a lot of stuff is beyond me. But I just think, you know, a lot of people have the mindset that, you know, I could do bad by myself. I'm not putting up with the crap.
Women. That's
right.
A woman's statement. That's a woman's statement.
Well, we're gonna
that's a bottle cry. That's a bottle cry for women, especially over 40. Women over 40, I could do bad off. You would think they got T-shirts walking around with that on.
Okay. Well, Mike, please stay on the line. I'm going to take another caller. I want you to stay in the conversation. Hold on. Peace and blessings. This is Bree Life Radio. I'm your host, Bree, and we're talking about what do women really want. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking with tonight? Hello? Okay. So, well, here's what I think. I think that, again, clear communication with one another. We have to learn how to talk to one another. We have to learn how to not be fearful to put what we want on the table. Because listen, here's the thing. The only thing that could be said to you is that I don't want to. You know, of course, it'll be a little disappointing, but wouldn't you rather know in the beginning that the person is not really in the same place that you are instead of vesting time? And here's the most important thing. Before you even walk across that threshold, you got to be ready to walk across the threshold. Like Mike from Queens just stated, there are a lot of women and men that come to the table or come to the door about to walk in with all these bags. And okay, cool, because we're all the age that we are. So, you know, we've lived life. We've been married, divorced, in committed relationships, maybe two, maybe seven. So we come in with stuff.
Maybe
you know, we come in with stuff. But, again, I always say it's not how many bags you have. It's not even what's in the bags. It's how well you carry them. So if you're going to walk in the door with a bunch of bags, be able to hold on to them. Because I may have some bags of my own. Mm-hmm. But be prepared. Be prepared and be ready. Ask yourself the hard question. You know, a couple of weeks ago, someone sent me an instant message. And he's been listening to me on the radio. He's been following my blog. And he asked me the question. You know, I want to know, are you really ready to be in a relationship? And, I was like, okay, where's this going? But I answered the question. And I meant it with my whole heart. Yes, I'm ready to be in a relationship, and I gave all the reasons why. Because you got to work your stuff out. You cannot expect to bring somebody into your life and think that they're the savior. They're Christ. And they're gonna make all your ills better. They're going to heal you. No, you need to be healed first. Because you need to be healed first. Because if you're a better woman for a better man and vice versa, that's what you're going to attract.
Well, I can tell you this about
the
healing part. I think that you're right, healing, but I think that you, as far as the whole concept of healing is concerned, you might always be dealing with something, you know, so to speak, but it shouldn't be something that's going to prevent you from being accessible emotionally to the other individual. To me, that's my big issue. Because there are things that happen.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
I said you have to be emotionally accessible to the other individual.
Okay.
So whatever it is that you're dealing with, you need to be emotionally accessible to the other individual. And so if your ability to emote and share and care and be attentive and feel, because it's going to be hard to get PCA if you are unavailable emotionally. You can't do it.
Well, excuse me, Mark. Let me just bring Mike from Queens up to speed with PCA, what PCA is. I don't know if you've been listening, Mike, but PCA is passion, care, and attention. So
okay,
when we talk about emoting, passion, care, and attention, and you say that, you know, you're dealing with your own challenges being single and dating and all that. Do you think that some of the challenges may be because of what you may be giving off? Do you think you're always clear with what your intentions are or what you want or what your expectations are?
I don't think anybody is 100% clear all the time. You know, then you would say that you're always ready and that you're that perfect person. I mean, you can't. I think that it's a give and take. Sometimes you're clear, sometimes you're not. It just depends. I think timing is everything.
But when you're not clear, you get what you get.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly. Some people might think they're ready. Some people might think they're ready, and they're not.
And sometimes
okay,
that's the only way you're going to find out. A lot of times is to get into something because you don't know, because you do believe you're ready, and then when somebody throws something at you, you find out. There's like the guy that thinks he's ready for the pros, and he gets his tryout, and they run him through the rigors of the pros or the football combines, and they find out, you know what, he ain't ready, but he wouldn't have found that out until he got there. Because
right,
at the other level, he performed great. So now he's going to step it up and do something different. He finds out. And see, that's why life is a lesson. relationships are a vehicle of self-discovery. That's the bottom line. You're going to find out about yourself when you start interacting with somebody else.
Okay.
That's true. I mean, it's, so you know, you might be ready, you might not be. But then, actually, you know, it's like being in a classroom environment, and you have your professor, and you have your textbook, and you're in the perfect setting. But once you get out into the real world, there's things that you have to adjust to, because that perfect setting in that classroom is not like that no more. So you might say, okay, I'm ready. But when you get out into the real world, you know, there's things that might be different that you might have to adjust to. So basically, until you test the water, you just don't know. And therein,
well, here's a perspective that somebody could have, being a participant in that with a person. Here's the thing. You say you're ready. I say I'm ready.
Right.
We go in.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean, now, if things don't work out, it doesn't mean that I wasn't ready. Maybe I just wasn't ready for you.
Maybe you're not compatible. Maybe you're not equally yoked.
That's right.
Maybe you're not meant for each other. Doesn't mean you're not ready, but you know it is what it is. You can't,
right?
You know, you could be.
Or maybe when you went in,
but that doesn't mean that person's for you.
Or you went in and you both was ready, and then you guys evolved. Well, I don't like the word, but you evolved, so to speak. Like one person matured or grew to a different level or went through some changes,
mm-hmm.
and felt that we outgrew one another. So then that was the end of that relationship. That's as far as it was supposed to go. That's it.
That's where we're going to go.
And
I always say this. Go ahead, Mike.
That was the perfect example of what I said earlier, where the young lady was married to a high school sweetheart and everything was fine. She said she didn't regret her marriage. She got two beautiful kids out of it. But, you know, later on in life, they just outgrew each other. You know, mentally she was one place, and he wasn't there, and it was, you know, it wasn't working anymore. There was no hard feelings, you know, and they went their separate ways.
Right.
And so that's
why.
And
when you can understand
I have a saying that I always use. I say relationships don't fail; they just end and release you to fly again. And that's what the deal is. I mean, because if it's learning, it's not a failure. It's an ending, and that means that usually with one ending, there's a chance or opportunity for a beginning again. And
right.
And that's
as
what
long,
we.
As
and
long
that's
as,
what you say?
Right. As long as one person is not is not hurt emotionally. If they're not drugged, if their emotions and feelings are not dragged through the mud, then you should be able to walk away without a problem. But unfortunately, a lot of relationships today, you know, if it don't work out for whatever reason, before everything was fine, and then when you break up, you know, people wind up not talking to each other, disliking each other,
mm-hmm.
and you know, mm-hmm. and as mature adults, that shouldn't be. Because you're hurt.
We know.
We know. That's not always the case.
We know.
Not always the case. Someone's always mad or bitter with someone else. So it all depends on what transpires. So, but we should be able to agree to disagree, even in relationships. So.
Well, I guess the question is not so much that, is like, now what for you? Because now that it did end, and now that it may have been amicable, it may have been horrible. But now you're free to make a decision. You still like women, or you still like men if you're a woman, and you still
right.
want to be in a relationship. So now,
right.
where are you? And then, of course, you got to do your own assessment. But the reality is, more than likely, you're going to go back out there again because you know that's what you want to be. It's like I was saying, there's some instinctive thing of connecting with the opposite sex that is in us. We want to be with the opposite sex. Now, some of us
want a lot of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if it's a lot. You know what? All I'm saying is that at the end of the
and
day.
And some of us want a lot of variety all at the same time. which causes problems.
You know what, though, Bree? You know what? I don't even know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. I think we do it. I don't know. See, I think ultimately to be cared and desired for is what it is. You may not believe that one person can do that, so then what you do is you pursue various liaisons. But it's still one single thing that you're after, though. It's one single thing that you're after, and you may not think you can get it from one person. But it's still single. I mean, it's not like it's a bunch of different things you want from different women. You want something.
And you want something, and what are you provoking at the same time?
Well, I mean,
from different people.
You know me and you have a history.
You don't want to take emotional responsibility for.
Yeah, I can't do it. I just can't.
I don't think there is a right and wrong when it comes to what someone wants. If a man or a woman wants variety, then that's just not for you, because most people don't want that, especially if you're looking for a relationship. If that's what he wants and that's how he lives his life, and, you know, who's to say he's wrong for that?
No, there's nothing wrong with being that way. But you cannot go on, Mike.
You know, if that's the way you are, then you know, from a woman's standpoint or a male standpoint, if the other person is like that, then you know that they're not marriage material. They're not settling down. So you know, in your mind, you say, okay, this is how this guy is. I could either deal with how he is and you know, do for what it is, or move around. That's not for me. So that's it, Mike.
I think you hit the nail on the head. The reality is that a lot of times people don't appreciate, though, the way you are, and it kind of becomes an irritant to them. And so then they either, A, want to change you, or they want to malign you, as opposed to just move on. He is who he is. She is who she is. And that, we beat each other up a lot. We do that a lot.
We do.
Because we want to see a certain thing, and we want you to be it. You're gonna be it, Mike. And then if you can't be it, you ain't nothing, Mike. That's crazy. But we do it. Me and women both do it. As opposed to saying, hey, that's how Mike operates. That's how he gets down. I'm gonna love you, brother. Have a peaceful journey. You know.
So here's an example. I was on my vacation. I just went on vacation with the kids. And so my daughter and her boyfriend, they were out there. And then all of a sudden I saw her mad, and he was going his direction. Before, they were just holding hand and walking and talking. And so I was thinking, oh, here we go. So then she came by me, and so I said, so what's wrong with you? He played too much. That's who he is. That's who he's been for the last 2 years since you've been dating him. That's who he is. Either you're going to accept him for who he is, or you're going to move around. And
you need to stop playing.
I like to think that what I have penetrated, you know, because you got to accept people for who they are, because if you don't, then what's in your brain is not aligning with this person, so of course it's going to fail.
And you set yourself up. You set yourself up. You can change somebody.
You cannot change anyone.
You can have some influence.
But you cannot change anyone, I don't even know where that came from. I hear it a lot on TV, on talk shows. I thought I could change him. What makes you think this is who he is? You know, so it's like,
I'm a changer.
I don't even know who I am. I'm a change you, and I'm trying to change you. Who are you?
Yeah, when someone tell you who they are the first time, believe them. That's who they are. Believe them. Whether they're joking around or they're being serious, if someone tells you who they are, believe them.
Well, Mike, you
I'm a man. Show and tell. Kansas City show and tell. What I see is what I know I'm going to get. You ain't even got to open your mouth, because I'm going to sit there and observe your behavior, and then I'm going to know.
Because, you know, it's funny. What Mike just said is funny, because usually when something breaks down, and I think about my past relationship, the one I just got out of, when we broke up, it was the craziest thing, because what she finally walked away from, she knew all along, from day one, she knew. And so it was the craziest
thing. But day one, she knew what?
She knew, meaning one of the reasons, one of her big reasons for walking away was some information that she had from day one about me.
Oh, dang.
So,
damn, that's crazy.
The suggestion, well, you know what that means? The suggestion is she felt one of two things. Either A, I was going to change, or B, she could deal with it. Now, maybe she didn't want me to change.
A pill for, is there a pill
that she could deal
with it?
Well, what happened is, what happened was, she couldn't deal
pill
with
for
it.
Pill to deal with it.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway. See, that, hey, that's how you mute your phone.
Oh, okay.
That's
oh, I hear that on the end.
We're not going to be maligned on this show.
Oops.
Anyway.
Laugh
commercial.
No, continue your story, Mark. I'm sorry. I just,
I'm
you know.
No, for real.
We're saying, breathing light. We're breathing light. Because this is Bree life.
People stay around because they think one or two things. Either A, they can change you, or B, well, two, one or three things. Either they can change you, either you are willing to change, or they can deal with the fact that you are who you are. And a lot of times you think you can deal with stuff. You want to try to do it because, let's say, the five things that you love, you can deal with. The sixth thing you hate, you think you can tolerate because you can deal with the five things. But you find out that the sixth thing is more powerful than the five things that you love. Because remember, the things we don't like have much more power over us than the things that we do like. The things we
well,
don't like.
Well, then that goes,
irritate.
That's synonymous with what Mike was saying in the beginning.
Yeah.
That the
exactly.
tolerance.
That's what I agree with Mike. That's what I was saying. I agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, the
I
tolerance level is so low that you could have A, B, C, and then D is not present.
Well, it's not just that.
I'm disinterested. Not patient because D is not present.
But Bree, it's not just that. It's the fact that the B or the last L or D or the last element has much more power than you thought it had. See, what we fail to realize is some of the things we don't like, we really don't like them. You know what I'm saying? We really don't like them. So even though we might like all these other things, that one thing we really don't like has much more power. It ain't just tolerance. It's that we really don't like certain things. And we really turn our head. And like what Mike said, at the beginning, I tell you certain things. Well, you see all the other things. He's engaging. He's this, he's that, he's that, he's that, he's that. But then he tells you this one thing you don't like. But he told you seven, eight things you do like. That should have more power. Nope, because the thing you don't like has much more power than the thing you do like. And it's usually going to
okay,
come
I
back.
Concur with that.
My man Malcolm X says, the chickens come home to roost. Chickens come home to roost.
Well,
and now you're
with
dealing
that.
With that thing that you hate. And that's what happened in my situation.
Then what do you do about that?
Well, what happens is, you got to be honest. When you hear something you really don't like, you got to be honest that you really don't like it. And you can't talk about all the things you do like. You got to really come to terms, sit down, and have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself about what you said you didn't like. What's going on with that with you? Is there anything you possibly can't compromise on a change and have a happy life with this guy? Or do you know deep down inside, maybe, I don't care how many things he said right, that one thing he said wrong is a deal breaker. You got to know your deal breakers.
Yeah,
you
do.
You got to know your deal breakers. You can't ignore them. You can't say because five things are right and only one thing is wrong. One thing wrong is enough.
Also, you also have to, even in unity, there still has to be some level of boundary, meaning that you have a standard and you can't always massage or, you know, keep adjusting the standard because the standard is like, you know, tension and physics. You know, you can't, what, you'll collapse if there is no standard.
Well, here's a good example. You got drug dealers and gangbangers. I use those as an example because people love to talk about them. You got a drug dealer that is so attentive, cares about you, gives you everything you want, therefore you takes you out to movies, do everything. He's doing everything. Everything. Meaning he is, he ain't beating on you. He ain't slapping you around. He respecting you. He'll knock somebody down for you. He's doing everything.
Okay, he's done everything.
Everything. But he's dealing drugs. So now there's some kind of moral code that he's breaking that you cannot, that you have a problem with. Okay, forget drug dealing. He does everything he can what he wants to do for you. He's a workaholic at a Fortune 500 company. He's a workaholic. He's a workaholic. But he can only give me five hours out of a week. But those are the quality, most quality 5 hours. He does everything for me. He manicures my feet for me, massages my back. He does it all. But he only can do that for 5 hours a week. And you know you're a 5 hours a day woman. So why are you going to sit up and act like you can deal with that? Because people do it. You know you. You know you. You don't want to be honest about you. But you know you.
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking about
talking about women in general.
I know.
Come on now. Unless the shoe fits, I'll be smelling.
Oh, no.
Don't jump up now. Come on. I'm just saying, you know you. So whether it's a drug dealer, the businessman, whatever the thing that you know that you just cannot deal with, why did you turn your head on it? Men, women?
Well, that's like,
you know,
the
it's
sign.
Like a man, you kissing on him all the time. He don't like that. He don't want you kissing and hugging on him all the time. He don't like that. He loves you, but he don't want to do all of that all day. And every time you see him, you want to kiss him, you want to walk down the street holding his hand. He don't do that.
Okay.
And you're going to train him. No, you're not going to train him. You're going to be upset at him because he's going to stop putting his hand out. He's going to try it a couple times. And he will say, I don't like doing this. I don't want to do this.
You know, it's amazing you would say about the hole in the hand thing. I went to pick up my son from Grand Central Station on Friday. And when I was walking through Grand Central Station, I saw this middle-aged African-American couple. And they were dressed up. It was obvious that they were celebrating something and they were going somewhere. And this man would not let his woman's hand go. And I was like, wow, that still exists.
Did you want that dude?
I mean, I was really touched, and he was helping her up the stairs and making sure, because she had a very long, like, raincoat on, and he was like, you know, be careful. You don't want to get your heel caught in your coat the way you did. I got you. That's what I wanted to say. But here's another thing that women always want a man to say to them, that I got you, and mean that. You know, that thing going through Grand Central Station and seeing that man hold his woman's hand, that really, like, touched me. I was like, okay, there's still hope for me.
can that I got you be, like, subliminally? Because sometimes they don't say it, but you know that they would do anything for you.
Well, that's when there's clear communication between the man and the woman. I mean, because I'm still waiting to have that conversation that I don't have to use words. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, you need to have a lot of word conversations so you can get to that. But anyway.
That's what I mean, though. You have to have the clear communication first. That has to be the foundation. But when you're vibing with each other, there gets to be a point when you know where you are with each other. And, yeah.
But you know what, Debris? I'm always concerned about that. I know where I am with you.
It exists.
I know where I am when I'm. Because I think that because we're always changing and evolving, we have to always check in to see. I don't always know where you are. I don't care how long I've known you. I don't know. And the day that I don't check in, I could miss something. And that's why I say passion, care, and attention. It's an ongoing thing.
When you're paying attention, and you see that there's maybe something along the road that you're not sure about, that's where attention kicks in and communication also picks up. You have to talk.
But see what you, but yeah, so that's no knowing. No, I know you. It's always I'm knowing you. I'm always knowing you. And knowing is now. Known is the past. So it's always knowing. To know is now. And it's always a now in the moment thing. And I think that that's a, because, and this is what I've been asserting more, I'm going to do a blog on that, about the attention deficit generation. And that means all of us, because of our level of attention deficit, because we have so many things competing for our attention constantly. Folks got iPads. They got, I mean, it's just so many things competing. When people are constantly looking down, so what happens is relationships are also going to, also become victims of the attention deficit society.
Well, you know, it's also because of, like you said, these devices. If you're always looking down, you're not looking at me. And I can't, I really don't like when I'm talking to a person, especially a man that I'm trying to really, you know, vibe with, and he's not looking at me. I want to see the white of your eyes. I want to see my reflection in your eyes. I can't do that if you're texting while I'm talking to you.
That's like that commercial. I don't know if it's a McDonald's commercial. That girl goes, did you just check the sports thing on your TV? He said, no, I didn't.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, that's a,
right.
Is that McDonald's?
That's a cell phone commercial, actually.
Oh,
you
know,
okay. Yeah, it's a cell phone.
Like, I
get your point.
Yeah.
I get the point.
He kind of looked like,
I don't know.
I
had a friendship relationship one time. I had a friendship relationship one time, and at that point in my life, I was like, yeah, I want more talks, more walks, and all that. Then when that person gave it to me, like, well, I don't want this. This is not what I want.
No, that's wrong.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It happened. It happened. That's my point.
But then
you try it.
When you started off with that person, did you start off with the walks and the talks, or
pretty much,
was a lot of time? Oh, okay, and it just faded.
It didn't fade. It was there. It's what I really needed at that time was to do some self searching, and I didn't need to be with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I boiled out to be, it wasn't what I wanted, but it was weird because it's like, this is everything I thought I wanted. It was like, no, I don't want this right now. I can't deal with this right now. I just need some self stuff.
Right.
So maybe that's part of it.
So, okay.
Since
Mike is a first time guest caller, I have a question for you. What are your rules of engagement? What do you think is the best way to start a whole discovery or getting to know, dating, sliding into relationship type thing? What do you think the best steps are to take to do such a thing?
To get to know someone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you truly want to get to know that person, then you have to have a clear head and a clear mind. You have to take away all the distractions. And by distractions, I mean if you're talking to anybody else or you got anything else going on in your life, you have to try to limit that so you can focus on that person if that's what you truly want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what? Then after you've done that, then what?
Little, then you hope, you know, if that's what you want and that's what that other person wants, then you hope that y'all can come to some type of common ground where y'all can move forward. I mean, that you just never know. And, you know, that's what life is. You just never know.
Sounds like you're playing lotto. You never know. It's a solid dream.
You never know. Nothing's guaranteed. I mean, you could be married for somebody 2 years and then wake up one day and you're like, oh man, who's sleeping next to me? I'm like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I know. I did that.
Wow.
So you know.
You never know. And you never know.
You never know.
You just never know.
That's the other.
Well, we're at the point of the conversation where I really would like to close out the show going around our virtual table and really, you know, just closing out with final thoughts of where do you think we are in this part two series of what do women really want? You know, I'm starting to question if this is a topic that is somewhat sensitive to women, that they don't want to share their thoughts because I don't know if they're fearful of someone hearing the sound of their voice. But, you know, someone just said to me, I was talking to my friend Kevin Powell from New Jersey, and there's a few things that he wanted me to say on the air on his behalf. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that open mouths don't get fed and that it's really time that women should, instead of expecting men to step up to the plate, men need women to step up to the plate too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not quite give them the instructions for how they should be treated or handled or attended to, so to speak, but to clearly communicate what they want at any given moment. Because the only thing that could be said is, no, I don't want to do that, or no, I can't do that.
Right.
Then that's something different. But at least, you know, I used to say, you know, you have to say the things that need to be said. Can't be fearful of that. So
right.
Going around the virtual table, and we'll start with Turtle.
Don't start with Turtle.
Well, we missed you, Turtle. You've been gone for a couple of weeks. We missed you.
Well, thank you for missing me.
Yes. So
okay,
where do you think we are in the state of what do women really want? Where are we in part two of this series? Do you feel that there's been something, you know, brought to the table that's, you know, is like an aha moment, or are we kind of saying the same things over and over?
Well, if we look at the title, I don't think we've touched on it yet, and I just touched on it a little bit when I said that when I was talking to this one guy, and then I decided I thought I wanted more talks, more walks, and then I decided I didn't want that. So that could be something like that. But it seems like we kind of, like you said, we veered off into a lot of things. So I don't even know if we surfaced it yet or if it's a legitimate title.
Okay. Okay.
Because as a woman, I would like to think I know what I want. But
uh-huh.
Like somebody else said, maybe it's that we're not getting or it's not out there or we haven't ran into it.
You might have heard what both Mark and I said about how, I know, I'll just speak for myself, that it's not that we don't know what we want. It's just that, you know, it's a certain point where it's taken so long for it to come by. And if and it doesn't, we become despaired and disappointed and frustrated where we don't think that it's going to happen. So our behavior, you know, or our posture is such that, you know, we're indifferent to the whole ideology of, you know, what we want from a man.
So we might be missing it then, huh? It might come past us and we miss it because of those issues.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Since we have a new guest caller, we'll let him go next. Mike from Queens. Where do you think we are in part two of what do women really want?
And what do women really want? Hmm.
Yeah, because that's what we're talking about.
I think we covered significant ground as far as exactly where we are. I mean, I don't think it's that cut and dry. I mean, this is a situation. This is a topic that that could go on for a while. I mean, if we were to say that we were at our conclusion as far as being satisfied with the answers, then, you know, I think life would be a lot easier, and we all know it's not. So this topic could go on for a while, in my opinion.
Okay. And I'll take that into consideration. Well, Mark from Houston, Texas. What can I say?
Mm.
Come on, Brother Mark, let's hear it.
Well, as I said before, I think, you know, the future of love and relationships basically really dependent on people being willing to look at what's in front of them and then be honest with what they want. I mean, the waffling, as I said in the beginning, stems from, to me, in my humble opinion, it stems from people not believing they can have the thing that they want. So when a person doesn't believe they can have what they want, that desire for what they want never, it ain't going to leave just because you decide to do something else. But it becomes a competing factor, and it becomes a virtual tug of war. So what we need to be honest about, and I heard Tony say it earlier when he talked about what people's expectations are, I think people need to be honest about what's really important. They need to look at their deal breakers. And as they look at their deal breakers, they'll be more honest and willing to say, hey, wait a minute, I gotta see this. Because the peripheral stuff, you work through that for the most part. But the deal breakers, you know what they are. So I think I have a lot of hope for the future relationships. And the reason, my biggest hope for the future relationships is this. Men and women have an innate desire for each other. That ain't going to go away. So that's enough to bring them to the bargaining table. And so that's where my hope lies in, is that we want each other. And that's all I have to say. Mark said it.
That is. Well, I guess I will close out the show just saying this. In order for us to really make clear to the opposite sex of what it is that we really do want, I think we have to know ourselves extremely well. And I think the person who responded to Mark's blog and was a little perturbed with him, I share a part of what I agree with a part of what she said with regards to how's about looking at ourselves and becoming more educated and thinking about creative things to do for ourselves, with ourselves. We have to build ourselves to a place where we can attract what we want, where we're engaging. So if you work on yourself and you prepare yourself for what it is that you really do want, I'm confident that it will come to you in time. So in closing, I share Mike from Queens' point of view with regards to this is a topic that can continue to go on, a discussion that should be had. I want to thank all of the guest callers for calling in. Mark from Houston, Texas. Gail from Minnesota. We had Chris for a brief moment from New York. And Mike from Queens. And as always, I wish you peace and blessings for your week. And remember that tomorrow, what is tomorrow, people?
Let's talk about a
freestyle Thursday.
That's right, baby. We're letting go with Freestyle Thursday. So call in and bring your freestyle. The rules are that there are no rules, no hold barred. So I'm sure. Will Mark have a special freestyle for tomorrow? need to call in and find out, because Freestyle Thursdays are always an emotionally, passionately charged evening. So you want to call in at 424. I'm sorry, you were going to say something, Mark?
Freestyle Thursdays, you could call in and just talk about whatever.
You can call in and talk about whatever.
Oh, my God. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so you need to call back. And you can do so by calling in to 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Please, I love all the emails that I've been getting. So you can send them to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at BreeLifeRadio. And on Facebook at Bree Life Radio, and of course, blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. So, what are we doing? We breathing light. I'm your host, Bree, and I wish you peace and blessings. Thanks for calling in, and please call in and tune in tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.
Good night,
all right,
everyone.
Take care. Good night.
Shout out to Bree. What up, Bree? And we finna go in. Look,
yes, sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. Positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you.